She had been reading fairy tales after her lessons were done all the morning. And now that dinner was over, her father got into his office, the baby asleep, and her mother sitting quietly sewing in the cool parlor, Eva thought that if she would go down across the field to the old mill pond and sit in the grass and make a fairy tale for herself. There was nothing that Eva liked better than to go and sit in the tall grass. Grass so tall that when the child, in her white dress, looped on her plump white shoulders with blue ribbons, her bright golden curls brushed back from her fair brow, and her eyes, sparkling, sat down in it, you could not see her until you were just near her, and then it was just as if you had found a picture of a little girl in a frame, or rather, a nest of soft green grass. And all through this tall, wavy grass, down to the very edge of the pond, grew many flowers. Violets, and buttercups, and dandelions, like little golden suns. And as Eva sat there in the grass, she filled her lap with the purple and yellow flowers. And all around her, the bees buzzed as though they wished to light upon the flowers in her lap. On which, at last, so quietly did she sit, that two black and golden butterflies alighted, while a great brown beetle with long black feelers climbed up a tall grass stalk in front of her, which, bending slightly under his weight, swung to and fro in the gentle breeze, which barely stirred Eva's golden curls. And the field crickets chirped, and even a snail put his horns out of his shell to look at the little girl, sitting so quietly in the grass among the flowers. For Eva was gentle, and neither bee nor butterfly, beetle, cricket, or snail were afraid of her. And this is what Eva called making a fairy tale for herself. But sitting so quietly and watching the insects and hearing their low hum around her at last made Eva feel drowsy, and she would have gone to sleep, as she often did, if all of a sudden there had not sounded just at her feet, so that it startled her, a loud croak. But it frightened the two butterflies, for away they went, floating off on their black and golden wings. And the brown beetle was in so much of a hurry to run away that he tumbled off the grass stalk on which he had been swinging. And as soon as he could regain his legs, crept as fast as they could carry him under a friendly mullein leaf which grew near, and hid himself. And the crickets were silent, and the bees all flew away to their hive. And the snail drew himself and his horns into his house, so that he looked like nothing in the world but a shell. For when beetles and butterflies and crickets and bees and snails hear this croak, they know that it is time for them to get out of the way. And when Eva looked down there, just at her feet, sat a great green toad. She gave him a little push with her foot to make him go away. Instead of that, he only hopped the nearer, and again came the croak. He was entirely too near now for comfort. So the little girl jumped up, dropping off the flowers she had gathered. And as she stood still for a moment, she thought that she heard the green toad say something. Go to the pond. To the pond. It seemed so funny to Eva to hear a toad talk that she stood as still as a mouse looking at him. And as she looked at him, she heard him say again, as plain as possible, "Go to the pond. Go to the pond." And then Eva did just exactly what either you or I would have done if we had heard a great green toad talking to us. And she went slowly through the tall grass down to the very edge of the pond. But instead of the fishes, which used to swim about in the pretty clear water, which would come to eat the crumbs of bread she always threw to them, and the funny croaking frogs which used to jump and splash in the water, she saw nothing but the same great green toad, which had hopped down faster than she had walked, which was now sitting on a mossy stone near the bank. And when Eva would have turned away, he croaked again. "Stay by the pond. Stay by the pond." And whether Eva wished it or not, she stood by the pond, for really she could not help it, and looked. And it seemed to her that the sky grew dark and the water black, as it always does before a rain. And then the child grew frightened and would have run away, but that just then, in the very blackest part of the pond, she saw, shining and looking up at her, a little round full moon with a face in it. It seemed to her, strange though you may think it, that the eyes of the face in the moon winked at her. And then it was gone. And again, Eva would have left the pond, but the green toad, which she thought had suddenly grown larger, croaked more loudly, "Stay by the pond! Stay by the pond!" And Eva obeyed, as indeed she could not help doing. And then again, in the pond, there came and went the little moon face, only that this time it was larger, and the eyes winked longer. For the third time, the child would have turned away, frightened at all these strange doings in the pond. But for the third time, the green toad, larger than ever, croaked, "Stay by the pond. Stay by the pond." So, for the third time, Eva looked at the pond. And there, for the third time, was the shining moon face. As large now as a real full moon. Though, when Eva looked up, there was no moon shining in the sky to be reflected in the pond. And then the eyes in the moon face looked harder at her. And the toad winked at her. And then the toad was the moon. And the moon was the toad. And both seemed to change places with each other. And at last, both of them shone and winked so that Eva could not tell them apart. And before she knew what was going on, well, she just lay down quietly in the tall grass. And the moon in the pond and the green toad winked at her until she fell asleep. Then the moon eyes closed and the shining face faded. And the green toad slipped quietly off his stone into the water. And still Eva slept soundly. And that was what Eva saw in the pond.